Hey, Jesse.
How's it going, Fake?
Doing well. You ready to do the episode?
Sounds good.
Let's get to it.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome to the first episode of Medicalization, a podcast miniseries that dives into some of the most peculiar and fascinating stories of the history of medicine. Some made it their mission to etch their names into history. Others found themselves thrust into it. No matter how they left their mark, their contributions have made medicine what it is today. I'm your host, Wafiq Sedholm.
And I'm your host, Jessica Sedholm. In today's episode, we introduce ourselves and talk shop about how we got into this.
Exactly. You'll get an insight into what it took to get us here and why we were inspired to do this. And in addition, we'll give you previews of some of the stories to come.
Yeah. Mostly why Wafiq was inspired and how I tagged along. All right, Wolfie, let's jump right in. How did you start writing these stories?
Well, I started med school in 2015 at the University of Colorado.
We have not heard the end of that.
And it's been a fun journey.
Just kidding. We're all really proud of you.
Thank you. I was inspired basically from the first 2 years of medical school. I would listen to lectures, and some of the professors, other doctors, would tell us interesting stories pertaining to the subject that they were teaching. But when they did tell us those stories, it would just be like one sentence or maybe a paragraph, and it would be kind of this fleeting thing over the course of 30 seconds or so.
Yeah, but it's, you always remember them, right? Like, it's easy to contextualize a medicine if you know, like, a crazy use for it, or, yeah, just the way we can apply history to medicine. It helps you memorize, like, terms and figures.
That's true. It does help you a lot, and it also makes it really interesting, especially, like, I've always loved history. And so it was a natural connection for me to try to connect history with medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like once I heard these stories, like, in a fleeting way, I wanted to dive into them a little bit more. Because it's like someone would say, for example, I was sitting in a lecture one time, and this is actually one of the stories that came out that you'll hear in later episodes. One of them was like, she was an ophthalmologist and teaching us about the eye. And she said, oh, did you know that they made the first lens implant out of something that World War II pilots used? And I was like, what is that all about? But that was all she said. And I was like,
yeah,
that needs to be fleshed out. Yeah. And so I would write that in a notepad in my phone. And then when I had free time, I'd look that up because I didn't have names. I didn't have
dates. It's good that you follow up on your notepads. That's what it takes to get into med school.
Exactly.
I mean, that level of persistence.
Yeah. So I was like, these stories are really cool. And yeah. some of them were more well-known stories that I think the average person may know. But what the average person may have heard in a 10-minute segment or read in a paragraph, they may not fully understand the implications, and they may not understand the medicine behind it. And that's where I brought in that second piece where I wanted to explain to the average person who is interested in medicine but doesn't actually have a background in medicine or science, giving them the ability to understand these complex processes and how they connect with the historical event that I described, basically.
Yeah.
So that was what was important.
And to simplify it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to make it appreciated from a medical perspective, but also a historical perspective, also just like a layman's perspective.
Exactly. I didn't want this to be something that only scientists or budding physicians or healthcare providers would be interested in. Yeah. I wanted everyone to enjoy it. So I started writing this at the end of my second year, and I basically planned out to write several short stories. Mm-hmm. And they all kind of had this a similar format where you describe the history, you go through the medicine, and then you kind of tease out life lessons from each story. Those were a little more tailored towards the healthcare environment, but I think they could be applied broadly, globally. Yeah.
That there was always a moral.
Exactly.
To like these extended narratives.
Yeah. And I decided to name the book Medicalization. And I did that with a serious intent. Medicalization, it's a term that's given by sociologists to the collective study of how the human experience translates into medical conditions that allows for study, diagnosis, prevention, and treatment. So it, for me, it was a perfect word to describe this book because it did connect the human and the scientific aspects of medicine.
Yeah, the term medicalization is sociological, like you said. And I actually learned it when I was studying for the psych and soc section of my MCAT. And
what did you find out?
Well, it's interesting because I always heard of medicalization and thought of it with positive connotations, right? We're improving the way that we define and diagnose disorders and diseases. Mm-hmm. But there's actually, it gets a lot of, not a lot, but it gets some backlash because there are certain disorders that have been medicalized. A good example is like ADHD, right? Attention deficit.
Wait, you said it last time.
Yeah. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, but I did not there say it go. As confidently. ADHD is a good example because you can just argue that kids are inherently more active, they have more energy, and so what happens is you have a lot of people that are misdiagnosed because of the medicalization of ADHD. Or,
I see.
You know, or like kids that are put on medication like Adderall when they don't really need it, they're just like a little bit more energetic.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
So it has a negative connotation, but you wanted to bring out kind of the positive connotations of medicalization.
Yeah, there's a lot of positive connotations. Like, you know, 50 years ago, if you had like, if you're a woman and you had like generalized anxiety disorder, it wasn't diagnosed as that. It was diagnosed as you being a woman.
Yeah.
But now we've like medicalized a lot of mental health.
Yes.
And so
indeed.
Those are recognized and treated accordingly. So
super
it's,
important.
Yeah. So it's this like very dynamic, very malleable medical term that really can be used both positively and negatively. But the point is that it's always changing.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And that's what you see in like these stories is the way. That's why I think it's such a good title is because in these stories, like you see medicalization happening sort of retrospectively and that field dynamically changing and adapting.
But that's kind of what's beautiful about science and medicine is that we're continually changing and growing.
And it's kind of inherent to that term medicalization. It's dynamic. And the way we define diseases and disorders is constantly changing because of social constructionism and because of the things that we learn.
Exactly.
So, and these people, I mean, the people that we talk about, their impacts on medicine have, and we sort of mentioned this in the title, but their impacts of medicine aren't usually intentional. It's the physicians around them that sort of respond to their situations or to the situations that are presented to them that make their stories so impactful, that give, you know, these tragedies inherent value.
Yeah, and I think of it...
Well, not inherent, but value.
They do give them value. I think one of the things that you should get from listening to these stories by the end of it is that all of these figures were, or a lot of these figures, I should say, when they pioneered some sort of revolution in their field, it was met with great dismay and oftentimes led to them having difficulty for the rest of their career because they were ostracized from their community.
I mean, how many times do you hear that in medicine and elsewhere?
Exactly.
Like, innovators are always, you know, put on the fringes.
But it was their adherence to what they believed in that really made their mark in history. And that's one thing that you can learn a lot from. Because
it's just hard to argue with science.
Exactly.
Right? Like, that's pretty objective.
Exactly. For example, one of the stories that we have is about an obstetrician.
No spoilers.
And he discovered a new way of looking at a disease process that was clearly misunderstood. And he had a unique way of looking at it. And what's crazy about that is that the way that he had of looking at this disease was revolutionary. No one thought about it. That's what makes it so difficult sometimes for these people, is because, yes, you believe in science, but even sometimes when everyone around you doesn't believe, even though it is fact, it is very, very, very difficult to kind of overcome that sometimes.
And how we define science now versus how we define science 50, 100,000 years ago is so different too.
Sure. Sure.
That, like, something that we consider objective fact today will certainly, like, you know, I always think about when I'm in school, how there are, or when I'm reading something, how there's so many scientific gaps where, you know, people are like, you know, my textbook will say, we don't know the mechanism that happens.
Right.
And now, you know, I look at
happens
all
a
the,
lot.
Yeah, and all the innovations, even with all of our progress, I still imagine 50 years from now, you know, someone my age scoffing at, like, the techniques that we're using today, because that's how quickly this field is moving.
I've heard several times, several different physicians have told me, if you take your textbook and you read the whole thing, 50% of it is wrong. But we just don't know what 50% is wrong. So it's crazy, and it's kind of disheartening sometimes, but that's just the nature of the game.
Absolutely.
From being in science. So if that's not something you're able to deal with, then this field's not for you, but it's really a rewarding field. It's very interesting.
So how did we decide to transition from something like a book to something like a podcast? Was it my never-ending charm that convinced you? Or was it my sultry voice?
all the above, see? It was actually you, because I had never even thought of turning it into a podcast.
Yeah.
I was
so inspired by the actions of our close friends, Erica Torvik and Carrie Nelson, at Devolve Already.
Yeah, you
Incorporated.
Should take a listen.
Yo, shout out.
Shout out to them.
No, but seriously, like, being a millennial, I thought it was our duty to make a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, it's part of being born in the 90s.
Yeah, and so. I don't want to buy a house. I just want to rent.
So I just want to eat avocado toast.
Yeah, so I can afford my avocado toast and make my podcast.
And ride Lime scooters all day.
Nope, you lost me. You lost me.
Yeah, but Jesse approached me. By this point, I had been writing for about a year or so in between my third year rotations. And Jesse approached me with the idea of turning this into a podcast. I never even thought of it. But, it was such a natural gravitation towards it, because the stories are short, they're very interesting, they can be explained easily, and I just thought it was a perfect medium to express these stories. And since I don't plan on publishing them soon, I thought it would be great to get those stories out to people.
Yeah. And so when Wafik was in med school, I started working at the Rocky Mountain Lions Eye Institute over at the Anschutz Medical Campus. And that is just the ocular facility they have there. And there's a guy, his name is Dr. Kenneth Hovland. We'll have him on later in the season. He created cases around basically the CU Medical Campus that displays old ophthalmology equipment. And so, you know, and they're all, like, they're just peppered around the building.
They're really easy to miss if you're not looking for them.
Yeah, there's like one by the lunchroom.
Yeah, but they're really fascinating and filled with 150 years of ophthalmology history. Yeah.
And I was looking at those, and they have like fake prosthetics, you know, from the 1800s, and old slit lamps, which is like how an ophthalmologist looks into the eyeball. Used to be all flame candle and mirrors. And I just, I was telling Wafik about it, and that's when he brought up the lens story.
That's right. Yeah. I had already written a story about the ophthalmologist, that you'll hear later in the podcast. And she brought that up, and I was like, well, I have an interesting story to tell you.
Well, actually.
And since Jesse seems to be really in love with ophthalmology at the moment, so having worked there for over a year, and so it seemed, I thought I could tell that she got really excited about that story in particular initially.
Glaucoma.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how it was born, and from there we started editing the podcast, editing the scripts that we had.
And I had a unique perspective, because Wafik is a med student, but I'm an aspiring med student.
Right.
Which means I just make pre-med jokes and try to get into med school.
And she's the more creative one, so she brought a different angle. And she's a great writer, so she was able to kind of... she was able to turn the stories into kind of more robust and artistic.
But also, you know, just like this idea... I am flattered. But also, like, this idea that, like, your rhetoric was just so much more advanced in the science sections. And I remember, like, I ran it by some people. I ran by my roommate. And it was kind of trying to, how do we explain science in terms that are still scientific, that still hold true to their original mechanisms, but also inform people in a new way? Right?
Yep,
and make it palatable.
Yeah. Yeah. Because these, we believe that these stories kind of stood on their own. They're fascinating. None of what we say is embellished. And we used primary resources when we could. And the medical part is robust enough, we believe, but it doesn't kind of fly over anyone's head, hopefully. Yeah. That was our goal when we wrote all these.
Anyway, I have to go.
We both have to go. So this has been an informal introduction. We hope
Pretty
formal. Yeah, we hope that you enjoy the upcoming weeks of podcasts, episodes, and
smash that like button, subscribe. Yeah.
Follow us on iTunes and SoundCloud. We should be...
And follow me on Instagram, just personally.
Yeah, @jsaid_Derulo. Yeah, very clever. We will be trying to link to videos or articles that we found helpful in understanding these stories, and maybe even some visuals, so that you can, while you're listening, you can also follow these pages and dive a little deeper into maybe some of the more medicine or some of the more historical aspects. And we hope you get a lot out of that. So with that, we will conclude the first episode.
Until next time.